Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me today to get you ready for NFL Week 7 action is Jay Cornegay, EVP of the Superbook Sports Operations. You can follow him on Twitter at Jay Cornegay. Jay, great to have you on the show.
Good to see you again, Rob.
So, Jay, I'm actually really excited to talk to you, but probably not for the reason that you want to talk to me, given how much the public has been winning over the last 2 weeks of the NFL season, and certainly in NFL Week 6, the narrative on Twitter as we're seeing the 1 o'clock games unfold is this is a bloodbath for the sports books. And I'm curious to hear from you if you can give us some perspective on what last week or the last 2 weeks has been like for you guys.
Well, before I get into that, you know, a lot of people give me a hard time, especially on Twitter, where when I tried to explain these type of results that we're looking for sympathy or something like that, and it's not true. I'm just trying to explain the results. You know, the public and the recreational player have had their way with us, as majority of the favorites have covered more of the popular teams, even the big favorites. We just haven't had any upsets, and the sports books thrive on parity. And we just haven't seen that over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and I love it. And that's something that is out of your control, because really, I think when we hear how much the public is winning, so it's like, what does that mean? That your lines aren't as good? That all of a sudden the favorites shouldn't be as big of favorites? But I remember sitting there, and I think at one point in the 1 o'clock games, every favorite or team that was winning by double digits.
Yeah, it wasn't even close. I mean, we can start to see that snowball effect as the games are being played out, and it usually comes down to one or two games. And this past week, week six, it was all in that Dallas Patriot game. If the Patriots somehow hold on or just lose by three, you know, we're just fine. But it was all riding on that game, as everything was tied up to the Cowboys. We had a tremendous amount of parlay liability attached to Dallas, and we saw how that unfolded. I mean, we do cringe. It's not like we're throwing things around here or sweating. You know, we're certainly kind of rooting for it. Yeah, we want it to go our way. I'm not going to lie to you, but we're not upset because we've seen it before. I mean, there are times where, you know, the public gets the best of us. And it's actually a very good thing, because that's what really makes sports betting so popular, is that, you know, the average guy, the recreational player, gets their moments. And they certainly have 2 out of the last 3 weeks.
And I feel like this is something that's actually a yearly occurrence, as someone who my preference is to be on underdogs when possible, because we're supposed to, air quotes, think like a Sharpie and like, oh my God, you're going to get points. That's always better. So when you're seeing these big favorites, you're staying away from all of them. Inevitably, I remember every single year, this exact same conversation happens where it's like, oh my God, the public is winning. And I'm curious from it can happen in one game, but then it happens across the board. And is that just the randomization of the number of games that we're playing? So it's inevitable that in 1 week or potentially 2 weeks, we're just going to see all of these, because at some point we're playing data and numbers, and there's always going to be outliers. So therefore there will always be outlier weeks.
Sure. You know, we know that the spread is the great equalizer, and over a long period of time, larger samples that these things are going to split, and the bookmakers are going to be just fine. But when you take short samples, like a week or a couple weeks, it could be a number of weeks, but over a course of the season, we know that these numbers are so strong. We have a lot of confidence in these numbers that it will split. And it's inevitable that the books normally end up on the positive side, but on these short samples, week to week, anything can happen. And that's certainly what we've seen, you know, over the last couple of weeks.
So you talk about the strength in the number then. So what sort of adjustment, if at all, do you guys make knowing that, boom, you get the public to win once, boom, you get the public to win twice. They're sitting there dancing. They're like, I cannot wait to just hammer the Cards minus 18, the Rams minus 14 and a half, because guess what? We got free money because Vegas is so dumb. They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. You're like the guy that I talked to with on Twitter.
Exactly.
You guys are so dumb. You guys should have had all these things, you know, all these teams, double digit favorites. They're like, we're just fine with the numbers. Now, history tells us, Rob, that we don't make knee jerk reactions. All right. We make subtle adjustments week in and week out. All the teams that played this past weekend, whether they were played, you know, a good game or a poor game, of course, the injuries are a big part of it as well. We'll make small adjustments to their power ranking. And it's not about what we lost or what we won or what the public did. It's just that individual team's power ranking will be adjusted accordingly to how their performance was this past weekend. And that's all we did. Now, I can understand people looking at this week's schedule and going, oh, the Rams minus 15 over the Lions. Can't wait. You know, and they still might be right. And that's what's so great about sports betting. You know, it rewards people, general recreational players half the time or nearly half the time. But I'm sure that they're right now that when people are watching this, there's probably a lot of big, good handicappers out there right now.
And I'm curious specifically about the bottom end here. So we mentioned Rams, Lions. What do you currently have the Cards, Texans at?
Cards, Texans, we are at, after opening up 14 and a half, we are now 18 and a half. Now that 14 and a half, okay, I got to tell you, it was right before the weekend, okay? And I know that there's some 17s out there, 17 and a halves. We are currently at 18 and a half. It's a pretty big number. It's one of the bigger numbers that we've seen in a while.
And with it moving so much, how much more could this go up? Like, is there any chance that this hits a two in front of it with a 20?
Well, that's going to really depend on the other side. If you know, the only way we're going to get any action or attention support on the other side, Houston in this case, is from the bigger players, the sharper players, and they will really determine where this number ends up. Now, we know that the recreational player and all the parlays will be connected to the Cardinals, but I will say this about a number that big. It kind of scares off some of the recreational play. You know, I'm sure that's not going to be our biggest decision of the weekend. I'm pretty sure that the Rams minus 15 over the Lions probably won't be a very big decision. Once we get to those really big numbers, it really does scare some of that parlay recreational play in other directions. I'm more concerned about, let's say, the Chiefs minus 5.5 over the Titans. Now, that's something that, even though the Titans had a great win on Monday night, you know, we're still going to see a majority of the action on the Chiefs. Packers is another one. Packers minus 9 or 8.5 over Washington. That's going to be another big decision for the book. But those big double digit favorites most likely won't be big games for us.
So let's play a quick game of would you rather. Would you rather be on the Texans getting 18 and change or the Lions getting 15?
You know, actually, I would go, this is a little, it's, you know, we got the two quarterbacks, right? The situation with the Rams and the Lions. I think, you know, I always have to look at the quarterbacks. I think this has always been a quarterback league, you know, golf, you know, I think I would have a little bit more confidence in the Lions at this point, just because of the quarterback play. I would certainly take the 15 with the Lions. I personally would feel more comfortable with that just because of the quarterback play versus what I've seen come out of Houston over the last few weeks.
Right. And I think the only caveat would be if somehow we find last minute that Tyrod Taylor is playing, I have a lot more faith in him. And I would agree with you. I would take the Lions in that situation because I was on the Lions last weekend, getting 3.5 versus the Bengals, which was a drop dead loser pretty much the second it was there. And what was my logic? It was, this is a team that at the time was 3-2 against the spread on the season. They'd played games tough and they seemed like they were a team that were ready to win. And all of a sudden it was the complete opposite of that. And one of the mindsets or narratives we talk about often here is when something massive, a massive win or a massive loss happens, we want to be on that other side the next time. So when the Lions get embarrassed and we see Jared Goff is terrible and the coach calling him out, well, one side of the world sees there's no way I want anything to do with the Lions. Well, if I was on the Lions last week for a certain narrative, I don't want a small sample size of one game to change everything for me. Albeit, I would feel extremely uncomfortable being on the Lions because of everything we've seen. But I would agree with you. That would be my logic for why I would want to be on the Lions.
Yeah, I would just truly base it off of quarterback play. When I, you know, one of the things that I look at when I look at the NFL is, you know, a better quarterback getting points. Okay, that's not the case in this one, obviously. But if I had to choose between the Texans and Lions right now, I'm picking the better quarterback. And right now, I believe that's with Detroit.
So I'm curious, Jay, one of the games that I like as my pick a loser. So every week we have, hey, identify a team or a bet that is a losing bet. And there is one team that I absolutely cannot trust. And that's the Atlanta Falcons, who are laying 2.5 on the road, taking on the Dolphins. So when you mentioned quarterbacks, who is the better quarterback right now, Tua or Matt Ryan?
Well, that's a tough choice. You know, I, with the Falcons laying points on the road, I know that the Dolphins got embarrassed last week in London. And I'm one of those that like the team or prefer the team that got embarrassed the week before. And that's certainly the Dolphins. And I think that in this case, I would probably take the home dog just because of that factor. Think about it and think Ryan is certainly a better quarterback than Tua. But in this case, with the Dolphins having that embarrassing loss against the Jaguars, and I know that they were only 3.5 point favorite, I think that they snap back and probably play a pretty tight game here.
I would agree, because everyone wants to make that Jaguars loss two losses, when in actuality, it is just one against a team that, yeah, they haven't won in 20 games, but in the grand scheme of things, it is just a loss. So I agree with you. My mindset is this is like literally the ultimate buy low. And so I don't care. The Dolphins could be any team name at this point. You lose to the Jaguars, I want to be on the other team. I want to be on that team the following week.
Yeah. And I know that, you know, they look at a lot of people look at the NFL, well, emotion is not part of it, but I disagree. I think that teams that, you know, like the Cowboys and the Patriots, they played a heck of a game and, you know, goes into overtime. I would, you know, prefer to stay away from those two teams this week. And if there was any, I guess if there was any interest or handicapping factors involving the teams that are playing either the Cowboys or the Patriots, then I would certainly take that other side. I think there's a little bit of a letdown after a very big emotional game. I mean, you look at the Jets, you're talking about the Jets getting 7 at the Patriots, and the Patriots after that very emotional loss, you know, it could certainly be a flat spot for the Patriots in this case.
Well, let's talk about emotion then, looking at Raiders Eagles. What do you have that line at?
Raiders Eagles. We got the Raiders. We opened 2.5. The Raiders are now -3. And very interesting there because of what the Raiders did last week. A lot of people didn't see that coming. I didn't see that coming. And when these things happen, when you have a major shakeup in the organization, it can go in two directions, right? You can either snowball into just a disaster and, you know, a dumpster fire, or they can rally and take that mentality of us against the world. All right. And I know that they had some players only meetings last week. You never know how those are going to turn out, but I thought that was pretty impressive for the Raiders to go in there and rally despite what happened. Now, is that a letdown spot for the Raiders, you know, after that big emotional win, you know, they're coming against the Eagles. And I still think the Eagles are a pretty decent team. I still believe in their defense, even though I don't think their defense has been playing up to their capability. Certainly that plus three there in this spot looks appealing to me.
It does for me too, because one of the segments we have is the get comfortable being uncomfortable bet of the week, a bet where you don't exactly feel all warm and fuzzy inside, like taking the Packers where you're like, boom, I feel amazing about this. And for me, give me the Eagles. And I've actually seen out there in the market a 3.5 with juice. So I'm going to take that. And I give this an uncomfortable scale of a Jeremiah Trotter 54 out of 100, because I don't feel comfortable on the Eagles. 2 weeks ago, I just didn't know what to make of this team, where they covered last week against the Bucs, but did anybody exactly feel warm and fuzzy with the way that happened? They had to nail that 2-point conversion. Otherwise, they're not going to cover. And for me, this is the fade of the Raiders coming off the big victory last week, because guess what? There still is emotional turmoil there. So this is not a one and done, everything's good with that team. Boom. They found a way to come up in that game. And I was fortunate that I was on the Raiders last week for a very simple reason. It was formulaic. It was a division game getting more than a field goal. And I was like, I don't care who that was. I'd watched the Broncos lay an egg in consecutive games. And all of a sudden, here we are now. They're not exactly the team that we thought they were when they ran through the bottom of the NFL.
Yeah, they went 3-0, and those teams were at that point combined 0-9. And now they've lost three in a row. You know, I look at the Raiders and I'm wondering if they're able to rally, as I said, you know, us against the world. But it could also be, was that their crowning moment? Was that their big rally? You know, and it's kind of a letdown now. The Eagles, you know, if the Eagles would have played the Bucs on Sunday instead of Thursday and had this extra rest, then I probably wouldn't even look at this game. But because it's an emotional game, I mean, everybody gets fired up for the Bucs, right? And everybody gets fired up to play the Packers or the Chiefs or the Cowboys, whoever it might be of those elite teams. You know, it's not a great spot for that team the following week. But because this game was played on Thursday rather than Sunday, you got to look at the Eagles here.
I'm curious your thoughts on how much teaser or parlay action you guys see. And certainly over the last 2 weeks when we're seeing all of these favorites win. So one of the segments we have every single week is the Big Mick Moneyline Parlay of the Week. And someone reached out to me 2 years ago on Twitter and said, Rob, I want you to give me a winner. And I'm like, all right, well, I wish I could just grow winners on trees, but I'll give you a winner. And I put together a money line parlay that got to around minus 110. And boom, that became a money line parlay segment every single week. So if you look at the last 2 weeks, boom, all of these favorites are winning. So money line parlays out the butt. So certainly the Steelers pulling it out, and then the Cowboys pulling it out right there. As we look at teasers or money line parlays, how much of an impact does that have on your handle compared to just the regular totals and spreads?
Well, it certainly drags behind your majority of your wagers, which is on the spread. Now, more and more people we've seen it over the last few years, have kind of been migrating to the money line parlays, some of the teasers. You won't see the sharp guys do that, though. You know, we would be a little bit more concerned if we were to see the sharp guys actually, you know, start that trend by playing more money line parlays or teasers, but they don't. So there's not a lot. We know there's not a lot of value there. But the recreational side, we definitely have seen that. And whenever we have a weekend like we've had over the last 2 out of 3 weeks, where majority of the favorites, especially the more popular favorites, there hasn't been one upset, Rob. When we don't have that one upset, I can tell you it's most likely going to produce a red figure for the end of the day. And we've certainly seen that over the last couple of weeks. And those are pretty big red numbers, I got to tell you.
Well, so looking at this week, so when I was putting together my money line parlay, I put together a 5-teamer that pays plus 120. And guess what I just had to do? Put together the games with the 5 biggest odds. Packers over Washington, Rams over Lions, Cards over Texans, Bucks over Bears. So that's the first 4. But guess what? That's virtually nothing. Those lines are so big. So I had to throw in the Patriots over the Jets in order to get this above minus 110. And what I always like to do is say to myself, all right, where is this going to lose? And I really saw two areas in which I am vulnerable. Number one, just the sheer number of games that I have. I would much rather have a two or a three team money line parlay than five, because injuries happen, crazy things happen. I even think too, maybe it was week one when Browns are playing the Texans and all of a sudden Tyrod Taylor's coming out throwing darts and everyone's like, ruh-roh, what's going on here? So we know that is possible. And then number two, so you'd say, well, the Patriots have the shortest odds of any of those teams. But on my end, and certainly the narrative that you just said, lose this big primetime emotional game versus the Cowboys, I just don't know if I see the Patriots losing at home to Zach Wilson. Where would you see the biggest risk or liability in this five-team money line parlay?
Well, I mean, that's, you know, that's something I would look at, those type of spots. And that's a, looking at that game between the Jets and the Patriots, you know, the Patriots money line is around 320, 330. And that's why it's called an upset. I mean, we're not supposed to be seeing this coming, but looking at that spot, it's just not a very good spot for the Patriots. And the Jets, again, interdivisional game, right? Interdivisional game is something that I would look at. And that's, that kind of fits the mold there. Not kind of, it does fit the mold there. The emotional factor of losing that game usually drags on. It's the human nature in us to have that type of letdown, you know, that type of effort and then the letdown, and then go into a game that you're probably not up for whatsoever. You know, the Jets are coming to town. Who gives a crap, right? It's very, very difficult to get up for that. So I would probably look at that. The Chiefs and Titans, coming off that, I just don't see the Titans putting back-to-back efforts like that against the Chiefs, even though that Chiefs defense is horrendous. The other ones have no shot as far as, there's no way the Texans are going to beat the Cardinals. I shouldn't say those things, but you got to look at the Lions. I told you the Lions, I think can easily cover that game. Winning outright, I think that's a tough ask. But it would be that Patriots-Jets game is the one I would be focused on.
How do you guys have the Chiefs power ranked? Because they seem like they're sort of an enigma, because we fall in love with Super Bowl chance, they're champs, and or they lose in the Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes, best player in football. We see that Tyreek Hill can score five touchdowns if he wants, and they got Travis Kelce, and we see everything offensively. But then you just talk to me about how their defense is trash. And we saw over the last year and a half how they've not been a profitable team against the spread. And I have a hard time figuring out how to figure out the Chiefs from a betting perspective. And I'm curious how you guys think about them.
Well, we don't think too much of them right now, but you know, they mainly because of the defense. You know, you look at some of the other teams and, you know, Baltimore's right up there. Obviously the Bills are still, I believe the Bills, despite the loss, are probably the best team in, at least in the AFC. You got to look at the Rams and you look at the Cardinals and you look at the Packers. It's very close up there. And when you talk about that top four, top six teams, that's where we would probably rank the Chiefs at this time. I would think, I mean, their offense is still tremendous. We do believe that they're going to make improvements and maybe turn that defense around a bit. I don't think it's going to be a night and day type of scenario there, but I do believe their defense is going to be better at the end of the year than it is right now. So I would say the Chiefs are probably around the fourth or fifth spot.
Who's at number one right now for you? Like the top team?
Bills.
More even so, where's Arizona then in this mix? Because we see they're just steamrolling. I mean, the win against Cleveland is probably the most impressive win, albeit I guess the Rams one was also impressive. So they've got this narrative, but there's a part of me that can't forget that I don't trust Cliff Kingsbury.
Right. Yeah. I understand that. And the Cardinals would be right there at number two. And this is my own personal rankings. Now, I know others have the Cardinals up top, but I do believe that the Bills' attitude and confidence and swagger, you know, make me believe that team has what it takes to win it all. Certainly the Cardinals, you know, if it was the Cardinals and the Bills in the Super Bowl, sure, yeah. Cardinals would probably might be a very, very slight favorite in that game. However, I believe that the Bills of what they did last year, just coming up short there, I think that's going to inspire them to, you know, they just had a little bit of that taste. And you met right up Kingsbury. I mean, he's questionable. I know that he's a gunslinger and the players love him. But unproven at this time. I think the coaching aspect certainly favors the Bills over the Cardinals.
Oh, and you brought up something awesome, and we're going to end on this. So I want to hear from you. The Cardinals are in the Super Bowl versus the Bills, and let's say, what would it be, the Cardinals giving 1.5? Like,
I was thinking, I was thinking one there, Rob. That's exactly what I was. That was exactly my number right there. So we're thinking on the same lines there. But of course, it would really depend on, you know, how they looked at the playoffs. And, you know, if one team's running, you know, people over in the playoffs, and we've seen that before, where they just get on a roll, you know, certainly that would have an effect on the Super Bowl line.
So we want to hear from you. Who would you take if it's Cardinals -1 versus the Bills in the Super Bowl? Give me Buffalo because I believe in Josh Allen. Jay, where can everybody connect with you?
They can connect with me on Twitter at Jay Cornegay. That's J-A-Y Cornegay. And I'm pretty good about getting back to you guys. Even the critical judging folks out there. I tend to get back to them as much as I can.
In a quick recap of my three picks, my pick a loser of the week, the Falcons -2.5. No way I'm betting them as a favorite on the road. My get comfortable being uncomfortable bet of the week, give me the Eagles +3.5 with the juice, taking on the Raiders. In my Big Mick 5-team Moneyline Parlay of the week, Packers, Rams, Cards, Bucks, Patriots is as square as it gets. It's the 5 biggest odds, but let's go. Let's see a winner. And we want to hear from you. Do you have a Big Mick Moneyline Parlay, pick a loser, or get comfortable being uncomfortable bet? You can hit me up on Instagram or Twitter at Rob Cressy. Also, make sure to tag at Covers. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. The Funkadelic Devil hits you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rump. If you like the way the sound pumps, pump it in your black trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.